She's been working hard. It's been quite a challenge thinking about this fall with her different programming and how to do those things virtually. And so she's learning some things on the computer. And so I appreciate the effort that she's putting in. Also, thank you, worship team. Appreciate that very much, leading us in worship this morning. So I had some questions about whether we were meeting today. And I posted this response on Facebook Live this morning. But the governor had her executive order come out that says, you know, 10 or less, meeting together. And I was talking to a friend, Pat Hill, actually, from his house the other day. I was cutting my grass. He called and he said, well, he said, did you read that whole thing? And I said, well, no, I haven't. I'm just kind of listening to the news, hitting the highlights. And he said, well, read the whole thing, because when you get to Section 8, I think that applies to you. And so I read through the executive order, and Section 8 says, in Region 6 and 8, which is us, we're 6 and the UP is 8, it says that venues, concerts, theaters, those kinds of places, it's okay to meet if you keep to 25% or less of your occupancy, and people are able to socially distance from each other. So that applies to us, so we feel like we're still conforming to her executive orders. We're not, bucking the law here or anything like that. So we're doing, trying to be responsible citizens and everything. So that's why we continued to go ahead and meet today. And if you have questions about that, we can talk about it later. But anyway, that's kind of where the decision came, at least in my heart. The elders are going to talk more about it tonight. I was really hoping we wouldn't have to shut the doors again today. I was going to kind of be, I was telling somebody earlier, it's kind of like that friend that you're driving the car, you go to get in, and they push the gas and move it up a little bit so you can't get in, and it's like you keep going that way. But anyway, well, we're glad that you're here. If you are a guest with us today, thanks for being here. I know second service is a little thin. We're trying to get first service people to maybe gravitate towards second to kind of balance things out, but we have the Bittenbender clan to keep us balanced over there, so it's all good. But thank you for being here. Let me pray for us. We'll dive in. Father, thank you for this morning that we can come together and worship you. Lord, I thank you for the talents that you've given the folks on our worship team, and I thank you for the blessing of this place, to have a place to come together to worship. And Lord, we continue to ask that you'd remove this pandemic from our world, that we could get back to worshiping and being in community together. But in the meantime, may we further seek opportunities to serve you and be the people of God you've called us to be. Open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I was thinking about this word honor this week. We're in a series called Seven Questions, and we're studying the book of Malachi. And in the book of Malachi, it's at the end of the Old Testament. It's we're getting ready to get to a point where there's 400 years of silence, no prophetic word from God to share with the people of Israel. They have God called Abraham and said, I'm going to make you a great nation, and they were made a great nation, and then they would turn their back on God, he'd rescue them, they'd turn their back on God, he'd rescue them, back and forth. And finally, he sent them into exile, but in exile even, he said, I'm going to bring you back. And he did bring them back, and so now they're reestablishing themselves in Jerusalem, in Judea, or the land of Judah. And along the way, apparently they had started turning their back on God again, because this prophetic word from Malachi, one of the last book we believe in the Old Testament chronologically as well, the things that he's saying to them would indicate that they are not following God once again. And today's question is, how have we despised you? How have we despised you? And we'll see that in Malachi when we get to that in a few minutes. But in answering that question, God uses this word honor. And when I think about the word honor, if I was to ask you, where's honor in the Bible, that word, I think probably the first one that comes to mind, or at least second or third, is honor your father and your mother, right? I mean, that's when we think about that word honor, that one just kind of pokes out in our head. It's one of the Ten Commandments, and I thought, what does that really mean to honor our father and our mother? And again, I think if we had some interaction, which we won't, but if we did, and I said, what does that mean to you guys? I think that we would hear things like, well, if mom and dad raised me to be a person that was honest and never told lies, that to honor them would mean that I was a very truthful person. I was a man or woman of integrity. That's honoring them. If they taught me a good work ethic, to work hard, if I'm in my work life and I'm leaning up against the wall not doing anything, that conviction I'm feeling is probably I should be honoring my parents by being a hard worker. There's time to lean, there's time to clean. Right, Cecil? Yeah, there you go. I think I've been asked recently about why I don't drink alcohol, because the Bible says don't give yourself to drunkenness, but I just don't drink. But part of my answer is it's honoring to my parents. because they raised me in a very conservative Christian home. It was frowned upon then, and I just know that it's honoring to them if I don't do that, right? And that's just kind of part of me because of I want to honor my parents in that way. And so when we think of this word honor, we think in terms of how do I respect who somebody has trained me or raised me up to do and to be. One of those movies that, you ever have one of those movies when you're searching through the television, you know, and all the channels that there's that movie that regardless of how many times you saw it, you got to stop and watch it, right? Beginning, middle, it doesn't matter. A Few Good Men is one of those movies for me, you know. You can't handle the truth, that one. And but at the very end of that movie, Tom Cruise's character is standing there. He's kind of won the case, but his guys are being dishonorably discharged. And Harold, the guy that he's defending, is walking out, and he says, Harold, you don't have to wear a uniform to have honor. And that kind of cemented a relationship between him and his lawyer. But what he was saying, basically, is your honor is not about something that you wear. It's not about the occupation you have or how much money that you have. But honor is simply respecting who we were created to be and who God created us to be. And that's where we find difficulty with the Israelites in the book of Malachi. Now, one of the things that's going to come up in how the people have not honored God is the offerings that they make. Okay? Now, when I say offering today, I don't want you to think in terms of your checkbook and that, even though that comes into play, but just an offering of whatever, be it time, talent, treasures, whatever it is that we offer to God. And I started looking at the very beginning of the Bible and said, where does this whole offering thing even start? And the first 3 points in the virtual outline that we have, I forgot to tell you, you can scan to get the outline today. But anyway, but the first one that I want us to look at, the first offering that was made, is that it was actually rejected. The first offering that was made to God that we read about was rejected. Now, we don't know if Adam and Eve made offerings. It's not recorded in Scripture. But we know that their sons, Cain and Abel, brought with an offering. And in Genesis chapter 4, the first 5 verses, it says this. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. In other words, it was rejected. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. So the first offering that was ever brought to God that we can read about in Scripture was actually one that was rejected. When we look at the offerings of Cain and Abel, there's kind of two schools of thought as to why one was accepted and one was rejected. One is probably the most widely accepted and one that we would probably say, yeah, that sounds right, is the fact that it sounds like Abel brought of the best of his animals, and it doesn't really say that about Cain's offering, that his fruits and vegetables may not have been the best that he had, but the fat portions that Abel brought of his animals seem to have been a higher quality and of his very, very best, and so God accepted that. Another school of thought would say that in Hebrews it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Well, the old saying, you can't get blood out of a turnip. There's no blood that comes out of fruits and vegetables, right? And so maybe it was the fact that his were fruits and vegetables, and it wasn't a blood offering. It wasn't a blood sacrifice that was being offered to God. Now, the only hole in that for me is that Cain wasn't a shepherd, right? I mean, he was a worker of the ground, the fruits and vegetables. That's what Adam was doing as well. So I don't know that I would buy that one as much as I would the former, which is the fact that Abel seemed to have brought the best of what he had to offer it to God, where Cain maybe brought his seconds, thirds, leftovers, or whatever that it was. But the fact of the matter is that the very first offering we read about in Scripture was actually rejected by God, and it would appear that it was rejected because it wasn't his very best. The second thing is that the third offering, if we count Cain and Abel as the first and second offering, the third offering was actually a pleasing aroma. It was a pleasing aroma. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says that all of man's heart had become evil all the time. And so God was going to do the holy redo, right? The control-alt-delete. And he said, I'm going to wipe out everything. I'm only going to save Noah and his family. And so he gave Noah, of course, instructions on how to build the ark and the animals two by two and the clean and unclean animals, all those things that he's bringing on board with him. Rained 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards they had to wait for the water to recede. And then when it finally did, they were able to walk out of the ark. And in chapter 8, verses 20 and 21 in Genesis, it says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. He took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done.'" There's some interesting things in just those couple of verses. First of all, Noah, when he offered his offering, he built an altar. Right? There was an altar built to be able to put the animals on. And even though he had clean and unclean animals, which ones did he choose to offer? The clean ones. Right? He had a choice to say, "I have clean and unclean animals. I could just offer the unclean ones since I'm not supposed to eat those anyway or do anything with them. So I could offer those." But instead he took of the clean animals and he offered those to God. But secondly, the Bible says that it was a pleasing aroma to God. Now, as I shared a couple of weeks ago, I did the high school week of church camp. And I got there early and unpacked my stuff and got, you know, my bed laid out and all that kind of stuff. And we went out and we were playing some games and messing around. It didn't take 3 hours for me to go back to that cabin, and it was not a pleasing aroma. I mean, it was bad. It was like you walk to the beginning of the door and you're like, okay, what's going on? What died in here in the last 3 hours? This is terrible. It was awful. My son, he's not here to defend himself, so I'll tell a story on him. When my oldest son, when I took him to, where I went to pick him up from his freshman year of college, he had switched roommates at the semester, and he was rooming with this baseball player that, I kid you not, had about 25 pair of shoes and no place to put them other than in their room. And I started to walk in to help my son carry stuff out, and guys, I'm not kidding. I got to the front of the door, like the threshold. I'm like, "You just hand me what I need to take out, and I'll take it to the door." It was bad. I mean, it made my nose hairs curl up. It made me pass out if I took one more step into that room. It was awful. And you know what a bad aroma is, isn't it? Don't you? I mean, even me talking about it is probably conjuring up some smells that you've been a part of to see and be like, "Eh." But at the same time, we also know what a pleasing aroma is. Fresh baked bread and cookies in the oven that are cooking. And I was sharing first service that when I'm in the shower, and sometimes my wife makes the best breakfast sandwiches. It's amazing. She thinks it's silly, but I love them. But anyway, when she's cooking bacon, man, it speeds up my shower because I can smell it coming through the vents or something into the shower, right? We know what a good aroma is. A flower that you like, fresh cut grass in the springtime, whatever the case may be, you know what a pleasing aroma is. Well, that sacrifice that Noah made on that altar, that's what it was to God. So just the fact of the picture of God being able to smell, right? And just him feeling that or sensing that and smelling that coming up, and it was such a big deal for him that he made a commitment to Noah in that moment. The Bible says that it was such a great aroma that came up to God that he actually made a commitment to say, "I'm never going to do what I just did. I'm never doing that again." That's how amazing it was when Noah offered his very best and he laid it before God, and how special of an aroma it was raising up to God. The fourth offering that we read about, and some may say that that wasn't an offering, but I would argue that it is, was an offering that was made to the wrong God. It was an offering made to the wrong God. See, after Noah and his family came off, they started to populate the earth. And as they populated the earth and the population was growing and growing and growing, we have this story in chapter 11 of Genesis about the Tower of Babel. You remember that story? We don't have a whole lot of information. All we know is that they wanted to build this big city and build this big tower. And in verse 4 it says this, "Then they," the people, "they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens.'" And listen to this. "Let us make a name for" who? "For ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." God wanted to populate the world that he had made. But the people wanted to make a name for themselves. So I would suggest that the offering in Genesis chapter 11 was a tower that they were building to glorify man as opposed to glorify God. I'm going to pause for station identification. First service got to me, I guess. So we have these different offerings that were made. The first one was rejected. The second one, Abel's, was accepted. The third one was a pleasing aroma to God. The fourth one was actually making an offering to the wrong God, the little g God, being man himself. And so it causes us to say, what does it look like to really honor God with the offerings that we present? What does it look like to honor God by being the men and women He's created us to be and offering that to Him, not just with a sacrifice of, be it money or whatever, but giving of our time and our talents to honor Him, that our life might be a pleasing aroma to Him? And let me suggest that there are four things that God desires when it comes to an offering, and this is where we'll get to the book of Malachi. The offering that God desires is first given with honor. It's given with honor. In Malachi 1:6, the first part of that verse, it says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor?" Well, we just talked about the fact that our parents maybe raised us to be hard workers or to be people of honesty and to do well with relationships and be kind to one another and that kind of thing. And that as we live our life, we're either honoring them or we're dishonoring them by how we live. And God is saying, as you think about honoring your father, I'm your father. Where's my honor? Where's the honor that you're going to give me, people of Israel, my chosen people? Where's the honor you're going to give me after I told you what it means, what it takes to be my people and for me to be your God? Where is the honor that I am due as your father? And so the first thing that God desires in an offering from us is that it's honoring to Him. The second is that it's given in fear. It's given in fear. The last part of Malachi 1:6 says, "And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name?" What does it mean to fear God? It would be easy to stand up on stage and say, listen, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you don't want to go to hell, you need to turn to Jesus and to scare people out of hell and to scare people into heaven. I don't think that's what I've been called to do. And I don't really think that that's the fear that He's talking about. I think the fear that God is talking about is an understanding, a wisdom that we have about who He is. He is the God that created everything. He's a God that loves us enough to send His Son to die for us. He's a God that respects us enough to allow us to talk to Him through prayer. He's a God that loved us enough to give us His Word, the Bible, that we could learn more about who He is. And I think that fear is a deep respect for God and who He is and what He's capable of, but also what He's already done. And God says, listen, if I'm your father, as you're my children, where's the honor that you're supposed to give to me? He says, if I'm the master and you're the servant, where's the fear? Why aren't you being convicted in your hearts when you're doing all these awful things and worshiping other idols and gods? Why is that not stopping you in your tracks and thinking, what am I doing? Why am I not worshiping the one true living God? So the offering that God desires is given with honor, it's given with fear, and third, it's given from our best. The next couple of sections I'm going to read are a little bit lengthy, but Malachi 1:7-14 reads this way. "By offering polluted food upon my altar, but you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised, when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. And I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame, or sick. And this you bring as your offering? Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations." Giving of our best versus giving of our worst or our extra or our surplus. An offering that God desires is one that comes from our very best. He's basically telling the people, you're giving me roadkill. You stopped in your buggy along the way and you scraped up a porcupine off the road and you're putting that on the offer altar and calling that a sacrifice to me. Really? Is that what you're going to give me? And he said, would you give that to your governor? Would you take that to your leader and say, here, I have a gift for you? Now, not today. We might, but not today, right? I'm just kidding. That was terrible. And not our governor. Who said that? I don't know who said that. Anyway. God said, I want your very best. I don't want your seconds. I don't want your leftovers. He said, I want the very best of what you have. Now, you put that in the 21st century, and this is a very challenging thing. We all have a limited number of time, right? We have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In that, yes, we need to sleep. In that, yes, we need to eat. In that, yes, we need to work. And we say, where is there time to give of our time to God? And I think it's a challenge for each of us to figure out, what does it look like to carve out time so that I'm giving to the Lord of my time? Treasures, quite honestly, I think that's the easiest way to give to God. I really do. I think that's the easiest offering that we make is to write a check or to go online and give or put some cash in. That's the easiest thing to do because does it take time? Not really. Does it take sacrifice? Yeah, I hope so. But it really doesn't take much to, okay, there you go. And I've given to God something. I've made an offering to Him. But if we really want to be challenged, I think that God is almost saying to me, you know what? You're giving me 10 seconds to write a check. I really kind of want 2 hours. I want you to love your neighbor. I want you to take on this project. I want you to do this thing that's available that will be, yes, outside of yourself. It'll be teaching and training others, perhaps. And it absolutely is a sacrifice of your time and energy, using your talents, to give to me. That's the offering of our best. And God is talking to the Israelites and saying, you're giving me your roadkill. You're giving me your awful stuff, awful seconds, when that's not how I trained you and taught you. Where's my honor as your father? It's not in what you're giving to me. In fact, it's awful. And you're basically telling me that you don't want me as your God, that you think that there's a better way, a better plan, that you don't trust me to provide, so you give me your awful stuff. You don't trust me to protect, so you give me your awful stuff. And God says, I'm looking for your very best. And last, the offering that God desires is led by example. In Malachi 2, it says, and now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces. Yes, the Bible says poop. The dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts, but you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts, and so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. Let that sink in for a second. The offering that God desires is one in which we honor Him with everything that we have, is one in that we give in a respectful fear of who He is, that we give Him of our very best. And He wants leaders to lead by example. You'll notice that those two sections that I just read to you, the one in the previous point as well, He was aiming that at priests. He was aiming that at this group of people that are supposed to be the mediators between the people and God. And He's telling them, you're doing an awful job. You're not even stopping people when they're bringing their bad sacrifices and shutting the door. In that last passage, He said, I wish that someone would just shut the door before the fire would even be kindled, so that people would realize they're not bringing the right thing to me. They're not offering their best. In this passage of Scripture that we just read, He's saying, I can't believe what you're doing. He said, look back at Levi. Now, we don't have much in the way of the Bible as far as stories about Levi. But Levi was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And what happened was when the people went into the promised land, all the different tribes were given an allotment of land as an inheritance except for Levi. Levites were supposed to be the priests. They were supposed to take care of the tabernacle and the ark and then eventually the temple as well, keep it clean and nice, and also offer sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. They had a specific job, and their payment, their inheritance, would be a tenth of what everybody else grew and gained and earned. That's where the whole tithing and tenth comes into play. That's how the Levites were supposed to conduct themselves. Well, God tells the people of Israel, Levi was a good man. He walked in uprightness. He was faithful. And I guess that's why he chose the Levites as the ones that would be the priests and being taking care of the temple and everything. He says, you're not living your life in that way. In fact, he says, this is how mad I am. I want to go throw poop in your face. Now, I don't know how mad you have to be to go throw poop in someone's face. Now, if you're a farmer, maybe that's a regular occurrence. I don't know. But I would think to be really upset with someone, you would have to go out to a farm, find it, come back, find the person you don't like, and then smash it in their face. That sounds like someone's pretty angry at you. Wouldn't you agree? God says, I'm so angry, I could take the excrement of the animals that you brought to sacrifice and just smash it all over you. Just so that you'll get the idea that what? This is not a pleasing aroma to me. In fact, the aroma that you now smell like, that's what it smells like to me. God says, I want your very best. And he says, leaders, elders, ministry leaders, life group leaders, I'm expecting more of you. I'm expecting that you would hold people accountable to the offerings that they are making before me. That they would be respectful, that they would be honoring to me, that they would be of the very best of what people are able to give. He said, you ask me, how have we despised your name? And God says, you've despised my name by not giving of your best and honoring me with the very best that you have and remembering who I am. So the question this morning is, how does the aroma smell that lifts from your life to God's presence? How does the aroma smell that lifts from your life to God's presence? In Philippians 4:18, Paul wrote, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Paul often worked when he went to plant churches and spread the gospel. He was a tent maker. But people still wanted to share in his ministry, so they would send him gifts of money. And he's like, hey, thank you, I am well cared for, but the gifts that you're giving are a pleasing aroma to God. Meaning, you're giving of your very best. You're sacrificing for the work of Jesus. Thank you for doing that. That's what a pleasing aroma to God smells like. And so again, we go back to the question. Is the aroma that's rising up from your life, from my life, is it a pleasing aroma to God? Or is it one that makes Him want to turn His back? About a week and a half ago, we built a wheelchair ramp for a couple about halfway between here and Mancelona. And I received this message from a lady that was there on the project working with us. And she happened to know the couple. She didn't know who they were till she got there. But then she found out and they talked for a little bit. She sent her this message. She said, hi, Miss Sarah. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping with the ramp. Wendell, the husband that we were building it for, because he couldn't get in and out of the house, he cried after you all left. That particular day, this church lifted up a pleasing aroma to God. Because we're willing to help those who can't help themselves. We're willing to love our neighbor as ourself. And most importantly, we're willing to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And isn't that really what it comes down to? The offering that God requires of us, what He desires from us, is just to love Him. And loving Him is to honor Him. And to honor Him is to follow and be the people of God that He created us to be. Now, in Galatians and Hebrews and in Romans, we've talked about how we're freed from the law when we surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior. But the law is an example of what it means to honor God as our Father and to live in respectful fear of who He is, because He said, this is what it looks like to be my people. So we don't do this now out of a must have or have to have or must do, but we do this now out of the love for the Father that created us and made a way for us to live in eternity with Him. So again, the question is, what's the aroma from our life smell like as it rises up to heaven? Is it one in which God is pleased with, or one He wants to turn away from? I'm going to give you a couple more opportunities coming up. This Wednesday, we're going to build another wheelchair ramp. Wednesday morning, 8 o'clock. I know some of you are like, I'm working. If you want to take a day off, awesome. If not, pray for us while we're building it. But come help us build a wheelchair ramp. Come let us raise a pleasing aroma to God. The other thing that I did is I went to two apartment complexes in town and I said, hey, school's around the corner. Sorry to let you know the bad news, but it's around the corner. I mean, good news, Holly. Sorry. And so we want to help your family with a backpack. If your kids need school supplies and they don't, and you can't really afford them, we want to help. So I gave them a website to go to that if they go and they register their kid, we're going to start buying backpacks filled with school supplies. And I'm going to make that available to you to say, I need a third grade girl backpack. Who wants that one, right? And we're just going to give our church the opportunity to continue to raise up a pleasing aroma to God. One that He looks down on this church and the individuals that make up this church, the people of God, and just smile as we honor Him for the Father that trained us and made us to be who we are. And may we respect Him and love Him and fear Him and walk in His ways every single day as our life truly is either going to be that aroma that is pleasing to Him or one in which He wants to turn away. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the opportunities to serve. Thank You for the opportunities to sacrifice and to give offerings, to offer ourselves before You. Thank You for the opportunity that You give us on a daily basis to love You and to love our neighbor as ourself. And Father, as we go from this place, I pray that we would look for those opportunities every single moment. Look where You are working. Look for the things that You put right in front of our face. May we be bold. May we be courageous. May we be willing to sacrifice for the sake of Your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.